Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and the Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness. Today, the show is going to be a special offering of the Exo World, according to Jamil, a multidimensional exploration of life on planet Earth. And Jamil would be me. And I am very excited to share with you an accumulation of thoughts, of ideas, of life experience that at this time in my life starting to fit together and make a little sense. And my experience with things that make a little sense is to share them, and then they help people who are interested in making a little sense. Plus, then they can make more sense for me, and then we all can make more sense together. So this is an opportunity for exploring a whole new paradigm, according to Jamil. So this show is going to be about me, sharing me. So I'm not going to be in any way apologetic for anything. And I have learned in my life experience that the greatest challenge is really not the experience of dealing with oppression from without. It's actually, in my experience, has been the oppression from within. The way that I have become the self-oppressor, my self-censoring, my insecurity based on my self-judgments and all of the ways that I've believed in all of the ideas and thoughts and projections that have in fact been levied my way at different times when I did not behave or speak according to the norm as expected. But in fact, regardless of all of that, it was still my choice to decide that that was in fact a true experience of me. But that was where I got lost, because who can tell me about me? Only I can tell me about me. Everything else is a projection of somebody or something else. So this was a huge relief to come upon this incredible gem of wisdom that finally said, well then, Jamil, so who are you? Now, who is this person in this lifetime having this experience on planet Earth? So it gave me a whole new way of looking at things, because then I decided that my voice mattered. Actually, what I thought and felt had a place, and that it was only up to me to decide that and to live according to that and to go ahead and validate and trust that voice, even though all so often it didn't seem to jive with the, you know, the status quo. So I want, that's the intro to the show. Now, the muse is a marvelous thing. I have done an incredible amount of preparation for this show. It has been an honor, the things that have been coming my way to help me ground and develop an outline. And yet I do know that it is the muse that has the final word in these things. So we are going to be riding together. So this show has also another very special part. And that is that this show is in full honor of my beloved mother, Juliette Nightingale. Juliette Nightingale will be celebrating her birthday in spirit this week on the 28th of February in the Gregorian calendar. And being a part of her transitioning from her body was in fact a major catalyst for many of the revelations and much of the clarity that I am now able to enjoy and share with you. But more than that, the 27 years that we shared in our earth walk were very much the seed planting that I'm now able to cultivate from this garden. And without Juliette and I having those 27 years, I would not be on this planet at this moment. And I don't say that in any morose way at all. It's just simply in my personal knowledge of myself that I am not doubting anymore. Know that. had I not encountered Juliet, had I not had the reunion with my soul family that Juliet and I fully acknowledged between us, I was not going to hang out here. And it wasn't even suicidal at a large degree. It was simply a lack of clarity and purpose until Juliet and I were able to fully acknowledge our soul bond, our soul purpose, and our shared commitment to the service that we agreed to do here on planet Earth that kept me here. And I had a lot of growing to do. We'll get to some of these things in another context, but I wanted to share how important it is now, I am feeling, to, in honor of my mother and in honor of all the love, the incredible unconditional love that she poured in me, all the hours that she spent with me, all the times she took my phone calls at every hour of every day, how many things she put down for me, how many things she did to accommodate my growth, how much she believed in me when I couldn't even imagine what she was talking about. Before I had even a glimmer of self-esteem, there was my mother encouraging me that I had something inside that was worth cultivating, that was worth believing in, that I had truly a gift to bring here. And without all of her believing in me, before I had a sense of even believing in myself, I wouldn't have had the momentum to be believing in myself now, which is so awesome. So in honor of her birth in spirit, I feel this is a gift to her that she is with me now in soul and spirit in her light form and can share that, hey, it wasn't for nothing, you know, that she invested in somebody who got it, that I got it. And now I want to give it back. And now I want to shine the light that she passed on to me through those years of incredible unconditional love. And to deny my voice, we just simply can't do that. Now I understand my place in the ancestry of my calling. She invested in me that I might invest in all of you, whoever you might be. Every soul you touch is part of your lineage. We are all in this together. So it is in full honor and incredible gratitude that this show is dedicated, that we are still sharing our process here, she in a new form, and I'll share more about that in the context of this show as well, because this has very much been a pivotal part of how I've developed the context of this exo world that I am now living in, and is always changing, and is always growing, and it's always a lot of fun, because you never know what's going to come around the bend. So this is a very special gift to my mother that she can be with me now and with all of us now on the broadcast and celebrate that it's really worth it, that what we go through it can mount to something. But also she gets a very, very special birthday present also from our Earth plane on the 28th of February. As many of you may know, the Pope is going to resign officially. Now, the Pope resignation, the Vatican itself having this supposed challenge is a huge gift to humanity if and however we choose to use it. Because the papal resignation really is an opening to a lot of doors that the Vatican itself has been specific in closing. One of them that, I mean, there's so many. The list of, you know, the Vatican sins, and they invented that word, by the way. They invented this whole idea of sin because they themselves are the leading sinner on this planet. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. You're going to find some tomato to throw at the Vatican because these guys are about as awful as you could never imagine. And it doesn't matter if you're part of their church system, if you've been part of their government system. I mean, they are really fond of the gladiators. I mean, these guys are the most abysmal satanic cult that hates all life. These guys deserve the tomatoes, okay? Incredible. But the one thing that I'll focus on in this talk, in celebration with my mother, is the fact that the Vatican, the church, and particularly the Roman Catholic, not all of them actually, that's focusing on the Roman Catholics' doctrine and what they did to imprison souls and what they have done so incredibly successfully to imprison the consciousness of humanity into a belief system that is structured in a very narrow material-based way. Meaning, if one dare assume or even begin the ponderance of yourself as being anything but a body, a hunk of meat, you are in for trouble. And if you happen to be even wandering in the idea that there might be more than your body, and God forbid you open your mouth and ask a question, you're dead. They just handle things very, you know, swiftly there. The Vatican has done so much to shut down the spiritual maturity process of the human. Now, the papal resignation does not mean that's all going to change. Nah, not at all. The papal resignation means there's an opening, that it is, in my perspective, a clear sign that the old order is weakening. But it will be up to all of us to choose the new order collectively, which is one of my strongest cases for suggesting to all of us that we develop our own multidimensional conversation, that we learn who we are as souls and beyond the body consciousness. Because the more we know who we are and take back our spiritual maturing process from the imposed consciousness that we have all been subject to being born on planet Earth. And it, you know, we have the Western version. It's the same in the East. All right. They have a little different, you know, flavor on it, but the tenets are the same. The tenets are the same. The tenets of all religion that appear to me signatures of the intentional retardation of spiritual growth are based on a few things that are very easy to recognize in all Eastern and Western thought. One of them is the separation, is the separation consciousness. Now, the separation consciousness exists in all religions by the defining of male and female. The males are this, the females are that. And in all the religions, the males are the superior and the females are useless. That is defined, that is in East and West. All of the religions say that. The other thing that all the religions promote is this idea that you, your indigenous being, you, who you are, you who were born of your mom and your pop, and you who arrived here on planet Earth, will never ever be good enough for anything. Only thing you can do is hope to be good enough to be recognized by those who have been assigned the holier position in the hierarchy of the church. You, no matter what, give them all your money, give them all your time, kiss their toes, let them, you know, do their thing with you. Hey, you will still be nothing, because the human in both these Eastern and Western religious doctrines tell you, you are nothing. You need somebody outside of you to contact, to be in communion with your spiritual divinity. your spiritual source connection, your place of knowing and being connected to your source. You are told in all religion you will never be able to access that unless you have a third party outside of you. Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter which religion you're talking about. They all say the same thing. You are not enough. You need a third party representative. Sign up, pay for it. And then we have the same thing going on with our so-called spiritual, you know, leaders, the new agey guys. These guys, you know, they're just telling you the same thing. They're just telling you the same thing. You are not good enough to connect with your source. So pay me and I'm going to connect you to your source. Well, good luck with that. There's nothing wrong with the process. But just it's a process. Just remember that. Anyway, that's the thing with the religion is that all they do not allow you a spiritual maturing process, which in the case of my mother, who was a multiple near-death experiencer who had direct experience with her source connection, as many people do, this is exactly the enemy of the church. This is the worst thing that all of the crumbling past power system has to face, and that is that we actually find, cultivate, believe, and live according to our source connection inside of all of us. And that we can be here at this time on planet Earth when the entire power structure is crumbling tells me we have a window opportunity here to really jump in there and make room for a whole new way of life. And on some level, it's not really up to us because the universe has a plan. We are here as guests. We are here as guests from our cosmic indigene, the cosmic origin that created our soul. And we are guests of the earth itself. Now, I avoid genderizing anything because I don't think it works for me. You can't say this is a girl and this is a boy. All this divine feminine stuff makes me nuts. We can't be divine feminine if we are not divine masculine. Separating anything is the exact place that we are coming from. We are divine masculine and feminine, and we are even more. We are so much more than that. So how can we be a divine if we are denying any part of ourselves? How can we do that? It's harder. It's harder, you know, in a way. We need more books for it, because then you have to write a whole nother book about, well, the divine feminine and the divine masculine and blah, blah, blah. They're all separate. Well, if we just start from unity consciousness that we're divine feminine, masculine, and more, then they're all in the same book. It's a little more efficient, and I love efficient. So that's where I'm at with that stuff. I really, in my consciousness, really work to neutralize gender in every opportunity, neutralize it, and be inclusive of all. Now, that doesn't mean we haven't got a lot of growing up to do in understanding how these things have been part of the conditioning. But that's the whole new paradigm. So now let's see what we can do to move. This is really funny because, you know, I have all these notes and it's really great to have notes. I love my notes. Okay. They're great notes. Okay. All right. So, taking a breath. This is the basis of the new paradigm that I am feeling worth exploring with all of you. The exo world. In our consciousness, I feel like what we are experiencing, where we are at in our consciousness, is the equivalent of where we were at some hundreds of years ago when the consciousness was entrenched in the belief that the world was flat. There was a time, can you believe that? Can you believe that? I mean, it wasn't really that long ago by universe terms. I mean, the human itself was believed, you know, the majority of the humans. I am sure there were exceptions, okay? But the eccentrics, as we know, you know, and it's a little risky to speak up, but, you know, in the general consciousness, there was a belief the earth was flat. And then people suffered and died and kicked around, and then we finally got in the reality, the absolute truth that the earth is actually rounder. It's, you know, it's not flat. It's definitely our roundish sphere entity. It's not flat. So in our consciousness, I feel like that is very much where we are at this exact time in our evolutionary process. We are moving from an imposed material-based of an imposed material-based paradigm that says we are our bodies, and that everything that is real in the world is material-based, is a composite of material phenomena, that it is solid in its material structure. This is the dominant paradigm in our scientific body that has been the dominant molder of our beliefs in who we are and how we are to operate, how we are to feel, to believe. The determinant of our reality has been imposed on us in this paradigm that we are our body, and that all reality is based in a measurable material composite. Now, even if you hate science and you think that that's just, you know, so what? How does that affect me? It affects you. It affects everybody. Because this being the dominant cultural paradigm has set the tone for our dominant culture reality. So examples of the I am my body and the world is only real in matter are expressed to succinctly suggest in our obsession with bodily functions and bodily needs. This expresses itself very simply in our obsession with sex and food. Now maybe we are starting to see how this matters, because the media, of course, has a lot to do with our insatiable appetite for these things by the constant promotion of these things. You know, the greatest thing is the newest shoe, or the greatest thing is the newest food. Now, I am an appreciator of all things beautiful in the material world, and I love food. And there's more. That's all. There's more. In our dominant culture being the underpinning of a body reality, the doors are guarded to what is more. This is what I was talking about regarding the Vatican and their fantastic, not alone, mind you, they have a team, their contribution to this guarding of door, to asking even, what is more? What could be more pleasing than good sex? How can that possibly be? Well, you know, it's for some people, good sex is plenty. They could just, you know, have sex and eat for lifetimes. They should do it. Have a great time. But others of us, you know, aren't satisfied with that. In fact, are bored. We find that boring. Believe it or not. If that is your thing, you should do that thing. Have a ball. I celebrate your choice, but know that there is more. That is what the exo world is about, is there is more than the material-based I am my body paradigm. Okay, now, the paradigm we are entering into, so that's obviously the equivalent of the world is flat. It's flat. Just keep, you know, sex and eating, sex and eating, sex and eating, and addiction. Don't forget your addiction. Sex, eat, caffeine, whatever your drug of choice, you know, your pharmaceuticals, they're legal, your illegals, whatever it is. Those are the, you know, keep your body in the focus. That's your very flat experience. And that's fine. Okay, but that is the equivalent of the conscious reality of the world is flat. It doesn't go up or down. It goes straight ahead in these very predictable patterns. Very predictable. Where we're going, where we are now in the process of birthing, where it is now a time of renovation, of exploration, of new energy coming in, is a soul-based reality that is in consciousness. I am my soul. I am a divine being choosing to have a human experience. And my human experience, all experience, is based in consciousness. Consciousness. Consciousness is not material based. Consciousness is based in the non-material planes. And I'm choosing words because we have to figure out some words. So I'm going to try some on, see how they work. No, I'll try some more. Okay. Consciousness is based in the ether, in the places where our inner world are accessed. We can access consciousness by going inside of ourselves. In fact, consciousness is all there is. There is a consciousness of what it is I am looking at. My consciousness brings it into focus. I am having an experience of that which I am focusing on. This obviously points to the incredible tease of knowing more about our perceptions, about what we are really feeling and thinking about our experience. You know, suddenly it moves from, well, I'm sitting in a chair looking at this picture, my computer's in front of me, to here I am, I'm sitting in this chair, and I'm aware my body's feeling this, I'm feeling this calm inside. I'm aware of a friend of mine, you know, thinking, somebody I care about going through something. That's also in my consciousness. Yes. And I feel the beings around me from the higher planes of the ether. We're processing a vision that I had a couple of nights ago. That's also going on inside of me. You see, there's a lot more going on when you bring in your inner world, your inner consciousness. The world inside is very different. It's different. And it has different potentials than just a material-based world. A world that has only material-based components is exactly like the church taught us. It's always going to be dependent on an external source to make it good enough, to make it real enough, to make it fun enough. We're always going to have to go get something to make this body reality whatever it needs to be. I'm hungry. I'm going to have to go get some food. Something from the outside is going to have to come to me. I'm to go get. I need a hug. I'm going to have to go ask some person to give me a hug. I need to go get a hug. I need to get the rent. So I need to go and get the money. Everything that I need has to come from outside. side of myself. You see how the church, yeah, how tricky that is? Our consciousness is affected by these paradigms that have been infused in our reality in ways we can't even imagine. And you don't even have to ever go into a church to have that empowering your choices right now. If you are not in a position where you can review this in yourself and see where I am, my body consciousness is dominating my reality, then you will continue in that paradigm. It's up to you. It's up to you. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that either. There is nothing wrong with that at all. It's a choice. It's your choice. Okay? So that is very different than I am consciousness. I am soul. I am a divine intention. A divine intention. The spark of my being is a divine intention. Okay? I didn't just come here because, you know, Jack and Jane figured out sex ed. There's a little more to the story than that. All right? That's not how it happened at all. It's the material component that allowed the body to be manifest. It is the step required for a material manifestation. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a very rich part of my divine intention manifestation. It's a very important part of my divine intention manifestation. All right, so now I want to share my version of soul. I want to share what I think soul is. What is soul? And in this intention of sharing soul, I am taking it back from every religious consciousness that has permeated my reality in ways I don't even know. I want to take this word back. And I want to clean it off from all the millennia of all the ideas that have been heaped on it that are not serving me and my development at this time. I want to clean them all off. And for me personally, I identify those specifically to every single attachment to the idea of soul, that it is not good enough. Because my soul is good enough. My soul is perfect. My soul is part of the divine plan. My soul is holy just because I'm here. And I want to let go of everything attached to soul, to the idea of soul that has ever been put out there, east and west, that might in any way be affecting my reality in this conversation of soul. And so in this process, pardon me, in this process of looking at the exo world according to Jamil, and, you know, I have some passionate thoughts about this, and I'm thinking, well, why don't you just change the word? Right? Why don't you just pick a new word? You know, give him that word, whatever. And I said, no. They chose that word specifically for the reasons they chose it. And I want that word for specifically the reasons I'm choosing it. And in my process of choosing the word for my reasons, I'm choosing to clear off the reasons for theirs. And this is very important because there's this idea that also is connected to the I am my body, Vatican et al. Promoted idea that everything has a finite course. They gave us the idea of death. The East, they gave us reincarnation. All right. They work with the Vatican. I'm telling you, they work with the Vatican. But that's not exactly another story, but that's connected. The idea that you can just cut and burn, I have learned in my life, is not true. in my personal life, I have learned over and over again that I can't. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked for me. If it works for you, let me know, because it might be great to try it another way, but I've tried it a lot of ways. The idea that you can just be having a really difficult experience, a difficult relationship, a situation that you really don't like, and then you can just say, I'm leaving you. I'm done. And just close it up and leave. And you're done with it. Well, what I've found is that I am not completely done with it. I might be done with that person. I am done with that chapter of it. But until I am able to go inside of myself and rectify and reconcile, regroup, realign, understand the lesson in that reality for me, I'm not done. In fact, that's never the point, because life is a continuum. Every experience in life is meant to be continued. It's not meant to be done, next, done, next. It's all a continuum. It's all a process. It's like when you look out in the heavens and you see, lately in the heavens, I've been having a ball watching Jupiter. We see Jupiter in the sky right now. We look in the sky, we look in the heavens, and it's like saying the Orion is the only thing that exists, but Jupiter can never come through there, and then it's only going to come when I want it, and then if I don't want to see it, I'm going to close it out. No. It doesn't work like that. It's a process. The entire cosmos are the entire cosmos. They're always there. They're always connected. They're always doing their thing, and I'm a part of the entire cosmos. So I am doing, always connected to my thing. So like Jupiter, I might not be in that part of the sky. I'll keep moving through the sky, but I'm still going to be Jupiter moving through the sky. So I have to work with my perceived realities and allow them to transform in me. So I chose to keep soul, to keep this process alive and to heal it, to allow a new opportunity to be a reality of soul for me, for you. If this works for you, take it and run with it. Have a ball, because we're really ripe for a new paradigm reality. And so my idea of soul is like an omelet. Soul is an omelet. I'm playing with this. Okay, so what does an omelet always have? An omelet always has eggs. Okay, so soul is an omelet, and it has three major components. The one that it always has, is eggs. Okay, it always has eggs. What are eggs in a soul composite? Well, eggs are the intention of a life existence. Eggs are the intention. Nothing exists without an intention. An intention must be determined. An intention is also the body that includes meaning and purpose. An intention is the meaning and the purpose of the life. See, the universe is very generous. It's very generous, but it doesn't mess around. You don't go to the universe and say, you know, stand at the counter and go, yeah, well, I want a red one. A red what? Oh, you know, a red that. Not a red what. What do you want? You must be clear of your intention. And your intention involves the ethics and mores of wherever the life form requisite is. There are rules in the universe. The intention includes the meaning and the purpose of life, of my life, of what I am choosing to come here for. All right? Oh, I am choosing that? Well, that raises another question, doesn't it? An intention is set by who? Who says, it's my intention to create bipods, you know, humans over there on planet Earth in whatever galaxy, whatever they are in, over there, okay? They have different names for it. I'm saying that tongue in cheek because we are using an Earth language that is, you know, nothing like the universe language that that is spoken throughout the multiverse, in my personal opinion / experience. Okay, so I'm using Earth language and I'm doing it tongue in cheek because this is just what we call it. You know, just what we call it. So an intention is set. By who, by what, to create a human on this planet that we call Earth. Who sets that intention? Okay, that is the second part of the omelet. Okay, so the omelet always has to have the intention, but you put things in the omelet, right? And this is where you get variety. Now, in the soul composite, the cosmic intention, the indigen of the cosmos themselves are the second ingredient in a soul composite. So you have the intention to create a human. And the indigen cosmos determine the cosmological compound that is then offered to the station. This is an Earth translation for us all. To a station, to a place in the cosmos where these things are negotiated. And I believe they are negotiated, believe me. So a negotiation begins. The cosmic indigen is submitted to this negotiation. The intention, the meaning, and the purpose are reviewed. And then it is accepted or rejected. Not everybody gets to come here. I really believe that. Not every part of the cosmos is welcome or needed or allowed to come and create human form on planet Earth at this time. I believe there is a way of determining how, who, what is allowed, not just on planet Earth, but who is allowed anywhere throughout the multiverse. And there is a multiverse. Okay, we won't digress. There is a multiverse that will decide. So the cosmic composite, the indigenous composite from the cosmos, that means that we have a hometown in the cosmos. Everywhere throughout the multiverse, the language in the exo world, according to Jamil, is a vibration, is a resonance, is a song. Okay, I like that the best. It's a song. It's an exchange of energies that are constantly in flux and moving and shifting and moving and shifting. And just like a song, it has a particular beat. Everywhere in the cosmos has a particular beat. It has a particular rhythm. Some songs in the universe, in the multiverse, have full orchestras. Some songs in the multiverse have a drummer and a guitar player. Some songs in the universe are forming and they have new band members and they're coming and going. They're trying out all these new sounds. And some, there's even rock and roll bands in the universe. I really believe that. Every energy, every part of the multiverse has a unique resonance to its station, to its place. And there's a lot of people who have done fantastic work in exploring different parts of the universe. A lot of work done in the Pleiades, a lot of work done in Sirius. There's a lot of Andromeda. There's a lot of great work that could understand this theory, maybe, that every area in the cosmos has a particular resonance. This resonance, as we are looking at this from our paradigm of soul, which is based in consciousness, in other words, not requiring a material base, because there is no such thing as matter, all right? There really is no such thing as matter, folks. Sorry. And I'm not sorry. I told you I'm not apologizing this day. Okay, but anyway, based in consciousness, our resonance is transferred in a code, and it is entered into the negotiation. It is presented into the negotiation, into our omelet. So now we've got our intention is set. The indigenous cosmic composite is entered. And the third component of a soul composite is the earth resonance itself. The earth resonance itself. And it's fascinating. So it's always been fascinating to me that our physical bodies basically return to the earth because they're made of earth, unless we're clones, which we still require then a composite of earth. But then this composite, the soul composite, is slightly altered, but not a lot. Not a lot. There are certain physics that are predetermined in the world based in consciousness or based in the ether, based in the consciousness reality of non-material manifestation. And in fact, all manifestation begins in the non-material plane. Okay? We have been duped. We have been duped. Okay? But we'll go there next. But let's finish our omelet. So our omelet consists of eggs. We have the intention, that is the mention, the absolute commitment to our purpose and the meaning, the very meaning of our life. And our cosmic indigen, the place from the origin of the intention that has negotiated our lifetime here. And then the biological composite of the earth itself. Okay, so those are the three ingredients that are required, that are make up the basic omelet of a soul composite. Okay, so in my vision of the soul composite, that changes a lot of things in a material-based, from the material-based perspective. First of all, the idea that a soul mate, to me, is completely foreign. There is only soul family, soul clan, soul places there, because the soul composite is true in every single being that is allowed to manifest here on this planet. And every single being is not just the human. There might be a dog or a horse or a snake that has your common indigenous cosmic composite in its soul composite. That is where we resonate with people. Resonance comes often from our soul composite recognition or our soul composite harmony. We have friends in the multiverse too. There are multiverse parts that are neighbors, multiverse parts that collaborate. Every single part of the multiverse has an existing life form of some kind. Now, even the word life is quite limited because here in the material-based reality, we've been brainwashed to think that life can only be defined by something that has water and air and light. That's not true. There are many life forms that don't require a glass of water. In my belief, we don't need water in that other place of the multiverse over there. Life is that amazing. It is that vast. It is that absolutely incredible. So our whole way of seeing the multiverse through soul opens a great deal more color and dimension and exploration in just what is it to be a human. So what is it to be a human? All right, now we're on to what is a human. Now, the human is a phenomena. The human is a phenomena. Here on planet Earth, you would never know it. You would be hard-pressed to know it. Let me put it that way. There are the exceptions here on planet Earth that marvel above the rest. Quote, I use above only because the ones that we tend to find exceptional are the ones that are not going along with everybody else. The very few true individuals on this planet are the hope, are the hope that is constant on this planet for the human species. The human species on this planet has chosen a very unique path to develop and to grow and to mature and to become part of the universe community. On this planet, the human species itself has been a player for many years. I mean, billions, billions. This planet, the story is not complete. The story is not true. The story is just, barbaric. Okay, it's barbaric. It's a story that is so crude, it makes cavemen look like saints. Okay? It's not... There's no way that the human species has existed for 5,000 years and that's it. Close up the case and go home. That's just nonsense. Okay? This is a good opportunity. We're coming on the first hour, and I was going to do this in the very beginning, but I forgot. I am somebody who is self-taught, meaning that I really had a lot of issues in school as a child. And this is appropriate because now we're going to get into, from here, okay, we're going to go into what is the human and what is the human process engaged in this particular phase of humanity on this planet. So, all right. So let's introduce Jamil Graham, the human that is giving this little chat. Okay. All right, Jamil Graham. That is my Earth name. That is the name that I use for defining my body, for defining my existence on this planet. And Jamil Graham came by intention of soul to become part of the birthing here on planet Earth into the universe consciousness, into the place where the human itself has a much clearer understanding of itself and has a much more accessible dialogue within itself in regards to all things in the inner world, all things and the true power of manifestation from the inside out, and all things in relation to the multiverse itself and to all intelligent life that is throughout the multiverse. That is the purpose of this lifetime that I have been gifted. And I came very clear for a young person that the violence on this planet was a very dominant reality. And for the preparation of my soul, for the lessons that I needed to learn to prepare myself, I chose a very violent reality in my first years, extremely violent. And in those years of enduring a lot of violence in the home, the school itself provided minimal relief because it seemed that the school itself was wrong. You know, as a child, I felt very offended by a lot of the teachers. I felt like they were stupid. I felt like they were mean. I felt like they were just trying to control me and trying to make me do things that I didn't want to do. And I was constantly sent out of the classroom for things like, you know, I didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You know, I didn't know what that flag meant. You know, I was just a kid. I wasn't even 5 years old. And they were trying to tell me that I had to say this. Well, I didn't know what it meant. And they didn't want me to ask questions. Oh, God. Questions. So it started this very contentious relationship very early on with the institution of school. Now, at the same time, there were always a few teachers that had room for, you know, kids like me who were going to question the answers, who were definitely, you know, bright. I took all these tests and they found out that I wasn't stupid, but they didn't know what to do with me. So they tried me in this and they tried me in that. And I just can't tell you how grateful I am that that was, you know, 40 odd years ago and not today. Our kids today, what they go through when they raise their hands is very different than what I went through. But also, our kids are prepared for this. But that is not where I want to go right now. Anyway, so I didn't like school. I didn't like the organization. I didn't respect the structure. And I knew that to educate myself didn't require going to school, you know? By the time I got through the secondary school, the high school, I realized that, you know, I wanted to be a lawyer. I was very passionate in the pursuit of justice. So, I know, I did what I felt like was practical, and I went to the courtrooms, the courthouses, and I sat in on all this garbage. I said, this is like a TV show. I decided, I'll join the University of Life because I can afford it, for one. I did not want to start my life in, you know, my adult life in debt, which I had already started my adult life at 16. You know, I had left that house of violence to continue healing and growing and learning about what I needed to learn from that experience at 16. So I was, you know, on my own. I was paying my own bills. I was figuring out my life and did not want to start it, you know, in debt. And so I said, look, let me just start, you know, the University of Life. Let me just take on the world. Let me just go find out what the heck kind of a planet I manifest on here, because this place was not feeling right to me at all. It was just, you know, and, you know, probably a lot of people can relate to that, because a lot of us feel that way, especially if you are a free thinker at all. If you even have the idea of free thinking, you know, this place is not, you know, welcoming to free thinkers. You have to really kind of get through that and figure, you know, that out. So it's taken me all these years to figure that out. But thank God we arrived. Anyway, so after the clarity that I was not going to be good for an institution of any kind, and I started on my own education, I was very aware that also as a young person that my inner world mattered. I paid attention very closely as a child to my dreams and to the messages to my friends, and I called my friends in high places. You know, we tease children, we think they're funny. Oh, look, they have a spirit friend, or they make believe, they talk to their dolls. Well, you know, that's real. To me, that's real. That was real then, and that's real now. I talk to my friends in high places, and they talk to me always. I need them. I need them. And that's part of the deal. If you choose, if you are, you know, going to come here to planet Earth, believe me, you need your spirit friends. You need them, for crying out loud. This place is a bloody nut house. You need your spirit friends. That's why they come with you. Nobody comes here alone. Nobody comes here alone. Nobody comes here alone. It is not an option. Because if you came here alone, you'd be dead so fast. Jesus, God Almighty, this place is a rat house. That we're changing that. That's why we're here. We're here to make it a better place, make it what we know it can be, all right? But you can't come here by yourself. You cannot come here by yourself. See, this is another reason why the Vatican and religion at all, East to West, don't want you to be thinking too much, really, about consciousness, you know, being reality. Because they can very easily dismiss your internal dialogues with your inner guidance very, very easily, because their intention is to replace it with their dialogue and their guidance, all on the outside. Somebody from the outside tells you your inner guidance will never do. And they love that. They love to be able to harass you and intimidate you. Talk about bullying. Oh, geez, that's bullying at its best. All right. You don't have to buy that anymore, people. You don't have to buy that. You never had to buy it in the first place. But now we have doors open like never before. So I never bought that as a child. I never bought that. And I came very hard-headed. I'm super Virgo. I got a lot. I got too much Virgo. I do. Oh, a lot of Virgo. Yeah, I'll need some Virgo. I got a lot of Virgo. And I got a good, you know, solid, stubborn streak and a nasty temper. And those things were very helpful as a child. I never, I always actually, that's another way to say it, I always celebrate the child with a temper because they're going to need it. When you can access your anger and when you can let it out, and I am really for responsible anger, and I have learned a lot. Oh boy, have I learned a lot about managing my own. But as a child, you know, blowing off, helped me. It helped me. It was amazing how anger scared people who, you know, and I was small. I was, you know, physically small. Sometimes all I had was my mouth and the volume I could achieve. And thank God I had that. And thank God that I had the chutzpah to use it. So use it. You know, I used it. I, you know, and I grew. You know, I don't need to do that now. And, I'm happy now. Wasn't happy. I'm happy now. So, yeah, there's a lot of things, though, coming into this world that brought me to who I am now, which is the experiential context that I'm offering to you, which is fair to offer it to you. And I'm a very private person, so I had to really work on this part with myself in preparation. But it's fair to offer some of, you know, my more personal background, the more personal context of you know, where this voice and this body has come from, this body of information has come from. And the other thing that you see, you're getting the picture that, you know, I didn't do the normal thing from the very beginning. I, you know, came into a very violent situation. I left it. That's not normal, as I realized later. A lot of people have to work through their violent childhoods, you know, for their whole life and maybe into other lifetimes. I was done with living surrounded by violence. I was done at 16, and I didn't go back to that. I continued to heal, to grow, continue, and to this day, I'm still healing certain things, certain aspects, which was the important part of what I needed to learn and do my work here. All those lessons were really important. But at 16, I was done, and I left. And I meant it. I did not go back. And so that was, now I realize that was unique. I was allergic to, you know, I call it allergic affectionately to institutions because, you know, I'm very passionate about education. I am not passionate about being told how to think. I think for myself very well. So I had some very fundamental challenges with universities. And never considered that necessary. In fact, it just never considered it optional. I definitely, for a long time, thought, you know, wow, that sucks because look at all those aspects of this world I'm going to be denied. But that's another thing that I celebrate now because, you know, in a few years, there's going to be a whole lot of kids who don't have this option either. And we're just going to recreate a better world, you know. That is truly based on education and not dominating somebody's reality and telling them how to think and how to feel and memorizing data that is useless. You know, there's a lot of good things that we can explore in making our educational system better. And I rebelled right away. And the other thing that I rebelled against right away was television. I was really bored with television at 6 years old. I was bored. I didn't like it. It wasn't interesting to me. And at 9 years old, we moved up into the Santa Cruz Mountains, where I was immediately outside. Outside. I never watched television. I have never wanted to watch television. I've never owned a television. And I have no intention of buying one or watching one or anything. You know, I have friends who have televisions, and they show me things on television. You know, movie channels are cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, it doesn't matter to me that people watch television. I don't really care if people watch television. It's not my investment in my consciousness if they watch television. I'm, you know, I have to take care of myself. But what I think is really important, and I've noticed that has been very important in the conversation of sharing an exo world, introducing myself, you know, as a thinker, as a, you know, philosopher, as a coach. I am definitely a coach in this, because I see the human potential and believe in the human potential exponentially. The thing that's really important about the television reality is that around my mid-30s, I noticed very, 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 very strongly that my whole development had been altered, you know, and it manifests in ways regarding the way people talk to each other. You know, I notice now a lot of people talk to each other in the context of celebrities' names. You know, like if you ask them, oh, who was that movie? What's that movie about? They tell you the name of the celebrity. They don't tell you about the movie. You don't even know the name of the character in the movie. Oh, that movie, that person, you know, that has that celebrity name in it. Well, I don't know those celebrity names. I started realizing, whoa, I missed this whole level of, you know, language. And the other thing about television consciousness is that people imitate the television consciousness. So they don't even realize it. But, you know, I use public transportation, and I could, you know, pretty much tell you when the styles change on television, because the people start wearing, mostly the women, start wearing different clothing, right? They'll start wearing, you know, different shoes. They'll start wearing their hair different. It's all from television. And how can I know that? Because I don't watch television. I'm making an assumption. I confess. I'm making an assumption, because it is just so cyclic. It is cyclic. It will be, you know, about a period of a month, and there'll be a substantial group of people dressing totally different. It's really fascinating, you know. So there are certain ways that the television absolutely entrains people's minds to think, the decisions that they make, how they process information, and how they communicate information. If you are a television person, I do believe that this is true for you. And I don't mean that as a judgment or in any way offensive, but it is, in my experience, true, because my way of developing without the television has none of those components at all. None of them at all. And I have yet to meet somebody who I know is a regular television watcher who's not in some way infatuated with some of these big names. You know, big name correlation in their reality is symptomatic of a television. They love big names. If you got a big name, they can be the biggest assholes. It doesn't matter. They have a big name. This is all part of the television entrainment that I don't have. I don't have that. I don't care how big your name is. I couldn't care less. I mean, and I really mean that. I really, with my whole heart, you know, I am an eye-to-eye person. We're good to each other or we're not. We have a resonance. We have a reason to come together. We have a reason to share. We can co-create. We can create a win-win reality between us, or we can't. And I'm okay either way. It's really okay with me. I don't care what your name is. I couldn't care less if you have any money. I really couldn't care less. Doesn't interest me. You know, what interests me is who's inside. Who are you? Who are you? You know, who? Not what is your name, but who is that beautiful soul being in there? Who's the soul? Do we have any reason to talk to each other at all? I don't like to waste time. I really don't. And I really like to be honest, you know, and straight about these things. So this was all a big deal when I started the dating world, because I had a very strict rule as a teenager. If I was dating somebody, man or woman, and I dated both, if they did not come up in my dreams, if they did not show up in my inner world after a few months, it didn't matter if we, you know, entered a sexual relationship or not, but we were just, you know, on that trajectory, we're interested. If they didn't come up in my inner world, I let them go. And I couldn't explain that to them, but it was because of this. Because I don't want to waste time. If we don't have a soul connection, if there isn't a purpose we are mutually coming together to serve, then I love you anyway. And we should move on and invest in relations that, for me, would be more fulfilling. You know, I came out that way. So this is a few things that I think are relevant in my personal being, who I am, what I'm here doing, the route that I've chosen, and the route that's matured in my course. So it's very exciting to get to this point in my life where I'm actually having a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm a nerd. Nerds have fun, you know, staying up all night reading books and drawing pictures and having really long, interesting conversations. I mean, I'm a nerd. You're not going to catch me at a party drinking. I'm not into it, you know? It's just never going to turn me on. But that doesn't mean I don't get happy if that turns you on. You should do what turns you on. I want you to do what turns you, you know, just know that nerds are happy being nerds. At least this nerd is happy doing things that make nerds happy. So one of the things that has been very important in my, you know, very soul-based, intuitive way of approaching life is honoring that inner voice, which has sent me on, you know, many different journeys and explorations, both inside and out. And I have done a little bit of travel on planet Earth as well, very soul-focused. And my greatest journeys, my most extensive travel on planet Earth has been here on the American continent, Turtle Island, what we call America. I have been across this planet America, many times now. And I have spent time in many states, and I have just recently crossed the plains. And, you know, I am very much more clear, put it that way, of why I chose to arrive here in this country at this time, in this now determined country at this time. In my universe perspective, these countries are all fictitious because you can't draw lines on the planet, you know. That's just, you know. So I always have to balance that. When I say America, my mind sees, you know, it's a funny thing. It's just, we call this continent, this part of this continent, America. And I chose to come here to this continent. And I have done extensive travel on this continent. And I have spent time in Europe. Barcelona is where I left my heart. And I'll be back for it, I tell you. And I don't really have a passion to see the whole world. I want you, you know, to know that. I don't need to go see all of planet Earth. I know there are many beautiful places that I haven't seen, but I have no passion. I've had never a desire to travel the whole world. There's a lot of places on this planet I don't want to go at all, to be honest. There's a lot of violence on this planet. And to the world travelers, thank you for doing it for me. I have no interest in going to see the whole entire world. I understand the value, the extreme value of traveling, period. And I am not finished with my travels. And this country, I'm serving a very specific purpose. And I don't expect I'll take my last breath here, to be honest. And it really won't matter to me one way or the other. The way things are going, I'm fine, whatever happens. But I just, feel like it's important to put it out there that there's a lot of ways to travel. There's a lot of ways to travel. I've traveled inside many places. I'm an intergalactic, multidimensional traveler. And you don't actually have to go and be molested by the TSA and scanned by their radiation to do that. This is another thing about the travel reality and until humanity finds enough courage and self-respect to stop this abomination of humanity for all humans. And I am talking to those people who are, I'm just going to pay a little extra money to avoid that. You are denying your moral responsibility, in my opinion. If one person is going through that, that's too many. You see, we're going to have to come to a new understanding that every life matters. If one person is being molested and radiated, that's too many. And it's going to be up to us to stop that. And I don't know how long that's going to take because, we're doing other things. But we're doing other things. We're doing a lot of great things. So we should, keep on it. Whatever we're doing it. So that's a little, personal background about who this voice, Jameel Ram, is. And, I think it's really special, the multidimensional conversation, because in our soul composite, we have our biological component, the earth story, the biology that we're born into, and the story that is connected to that. And we have our indigenous cosmic composite, the purpose, the intention that is part of that. And in our human story here on planet Earth, we have an interesting phenomena going on. All right, so we'll come back now to where I left it before I went off about who this Jameel is. Big breath. All right. So where I was before was that the Earth itself has had many incarnations of human species. So I'll just summarize very briefly the way I see species on planet Earth, or species anywhere in the multiverse. And this is the idea. So you can play with me with this if you like. This is the idea that in the cosmos, there's this garden shop. Okay? This I'm using Earth terms. So in this garden shop are lots, what is in garden shop? Lots of seeds. Okay? Lots of seeds. So throughout the multiverse are extraordinary intelligent species. And just like we get an inkling to start a garden, we go to the garden store and we pick out the tomatoes and we like cucumbers and we want to grow some daikon radish and we want to grow some peppers. We pick out our seeds and we take them home and we plant our seeds. Well, in the cosmos, they have a similar process in a multidimensional context, where in their garden shop, they have seeds for species, like we have carrots and such. They have humans and dogs And they have seahorses and clams and whales and dolphins. And they have cats and kangaroos and zebras and on and on. Okay. So there are seed composites that are available to ethically mature intelligences that inhabit the multiverse. They are allowed to take these seeds and plant them. Okay? This is a very crude, a very simple breakdown. So, say a group of, you know, the extraterrestrial communities, the universe communities, are not so unlike the communities on planet Earth in that some of them get together and work together. Some of them are just very isolationist. They're going to be in their own little world. Some of them are intergalactic travelers. You know, they just come and go, never really root anywhere. The wanderers. Some of them are going to be in one place only, have a specific, you know, function in the multiverse. Everybody's going to go to them time and time again. It's very similar to how we manifest ourselves here on planet Earth. Very similar. So in the throughout the multiverse, the cosmic, the in the intelligences that are based in other universe realities, they do the same. They work together. You know, maybe they have their equivalent of tea. They take a spaceship ride to, you know, this other idea that's happening over there. And so there's constantly moving an intention. It's always intention. They have an intention to come to me. It's always intentional. There's always, it has to be an intention. Then the reality happens that they get an idea. So the human is an idea. It's an intention from a higher intelligence to propagate a species. Okay, so a higher intelligence or a collaboration of higher intelligence became invested in the process of propagating a human species here. And I'm sticking to the conversation focused on humans, but it's really important as a human in exploring humanity that we remember that all life is equal. So the human, we're talking about humans, so and dogs and cats, everybody else, you know, it is possible in the seed propagation process to alter certain aspects of seeds. Now we see that manifesting here as well in the genetic manipulation that's going on. Okay, in the cosmos, to be given permission, and there is a hierarchy, I really believe that, there is a benevolence that is the code. It is a benevolent code that sets the terms. And the ethical-based, multidimensional, extraterrestrial, interdimensional civilizations adhere, honor with great enthusiasm the ethical codes of life creation. And you don't get to go to the garden shop unless you have ethical mores. You don't get to go there. You just, you know, what you do is you steal. Okay? We'll get there in a minute. So an ethical, perhaps collaboration of intelligences decided to promote, to propagate the human species here on planet Earth. You see, this is much more feasible when we have a soul-based reality in, when we have I am soul-based in consciousness reality going on, because then we understand that the human is simply the form we chose to do the dance with. You know, we could have been a dog, right? But we chose the human because we are not our body, right? We're not our body anymore. We are a divine intention that has a soul based in consciousness, in intention. We are based in consciousness now. So the idea that an extraterrestrial intelligence, way beyond what the smartest human might even be able to begin to conceive on planet Earth at this point, you know, I just think we can't even come close in our reality at this point to imagine the incredible breadth of intelligence that exists. But there's a great, much greater intelligence than the existing human species on planet Earth. I'm so confident about that. Really confident about that. I mean, we'll get there. So, the human is a propagated species on planet Earth. The human has been propagated on planet Earth in several different incarnations, if you will. And it's had different intentions. It's served different purposes. It's had different periods, different epochs of existence. The current epoch here is new. It's a young human that has been propagated since major Earth changes around 10,000 years ago or so. Now, there are remnants of the old human that were used to continue the new propagation. But it is my belief, my experience, that the masses, the body of the masses here at this time, are a large majority of the very young souls that are rebuilding the human composite. And that is what is the makeup of a young species. The species had to start all over again from a mass extinction in its consciousness. So from this mass extinction, the consciousness that held the integrity of the wisdom, of the knowledge, of all the things that made up life on the earth were dispersed and were made part of an ongoing experiment. Okay? The experiment continued. At that point, a force entered the human experience. And I call this the off-planet intelligence collaborative of malevolent intent. Off-planet intelligence collaborative of malevolent intent. And I call it OPICOMI for short. OPICOMI, or OMI for short, of malevolent intent. There is a collaboration of off-world species that have had it in their intention to create a human slave to do their bidding exclusively. Their intention, from what I can tell, is to enslave humanity by choice, meaning that the human surrenders its sovereignty, its connection, its divine connection by choice. It has to be by choice, ultimately. As well as take, usurp, destroy the planetary resources. This collaborative has it in its mind to usurp the resources of this planet, period. It has in its vision, in its long-term vision of this planet, to suck the life out of it in every way it can. To some people, okay, now let's go back to how we're soul, right? A divine intention can manifest into a human soul, into a human, from any source. Now, a malevolent intention would have a problem. It would have a problem. So it solved its problem by creating a soul manufacturing, recapturing system that allowed the malevolent seed. These guys know how to mess with seeds, but they do not know how to create them. Just like they promote just like they are the procurers of the geoengineering program. They cannot create wind. They can manipulate wind and make it stronger and make it more violent. They can create, they can direct a wind happening, but they cannot create. These guys cannot create. They must manipulate. They are dependent on manipulation of existing life forms that they are denied access to because they are of malevolent intent. They seek to harm. We are living on a planet with a body of malevolent intent. The malevolent intent has usurped a huge degree of our resources. But the most important thing that we, I feel, need to be concerned about right now regarding OMI, the of malevolent intention, the off-planet intelligence collaborative's malevolent intention, is the intention to usurp our sovereignty, to perhaps without fear, scare the lights out of us into surrendering our sovereignty. They want us to give them power to determine our personal fate. If we do that, then they will have their human slaves. We must do that as an individual, or they don't get us. And the other thing about it, though, is we are part of a human collective consciousness. One of the obvious things that is surfacing in the malevolent intent agenda is the microchip, you know? So I, as a sovereign being, will never consider getting a microchip. However, you might. All right, you might think it's okay to have your dog microchipped. You don't even get to choose whether your dog is microchipped. If your dog goes through any of the rescue programs in America, they get chipped, right? And if you believe that that's a good thing, if you believe that that is going to help somebody help you down the road, and then you just think, well, yeah, what the heck, help me. Go ahead, chip me. If you do that, then you are also compromising the human dignity collective. Because everything that we do isn't really about us. We are here for our manifest purpose. But we are not here for ourselves in the little way that we think we are when we are entrenched in I am my body consciousness. In I am my body, all is matter. All we think is that our body is all that matters. It doesn't. All right, every single thing that we do, when we realize that we are a divine intention manifest in soul, based in consciousness, we realize that we are actually part of the sea of water. Everything that we do is like a stone that's thrown into the water. It ripples out. So every time we choose anything, we don't just choose for ourselves. We choose for the entirety of the human species. This is why it's really helpful for us as individuals to put our houses in order, to get a sense of what it is that's really important to us, not just for ourselves, but what do we want to pass on to our children? And what do we want to thank our ancestors for providing? We are part of a long lineage of transformation, of maturity, of process, of the human species itself. And as a divine intention, soul-based in consciousness, we realize this is just a species. We are part of a species process. We are part of a species development. This is the gift of our life, to be part of the gift of life itself, to be part of the gift of the human potential evolving. This is our gift. Every single choice we make affects the entirety of the human integrity not just me, not just my saving my face, you know, because my family is going to be ashamed of me. No, the entirety. Well, actually, yes, that's actually, yes, it does have an effect on your immediate family, most definitely. And it has a huge impact on the human collective as well. It's bigger. There's more. It's so exciting. There's more. Okay. All right. So, the process of being a human has been brought to us in this very limited way, all based on material intentionally by this OPICOMI, the Off-Planet Intelligence Collaborative of Malevolent Intent. OPICOMI. These guys are of malevolent intention. They have been involved for thousands of years in the development of this generation of human experience manifesting on the planet at this time. There have been many manifestations of human experience on this planet. This is the current one. This is the human that has now the opportunity to face inside of ourselves, in the world around us, this malevolent intent that has dominated our reality to this point and has dominated by imposing itself in the most incredible, elaborate way. I mean, I have to give my hat off to, you know, the thoroughness of this experiment. They've even created an artificial reality for us to all believe is real. These guys have gone all out. You know, I tip my hat to them. They've gone all out. But it's a bunch of bull. It's not real. And we've chosen a great deal of suffering to learn this evolutionary process, which was also a choice. And there are other options. You know, we don't have to learn by suffering. And I really sense there are other human programs, other human experiments going on that don't learn by suffering. It is actually possible to learn by loving, by enhancing experience rather than denying and degrading experience. It's all a choice. So we have a choice now to face this off-planet intelligence collaborative of malevolent intention that has not only usurped the planet, but has usurped major places in our consciousness. These guys have built the walls in our conscious reality that have told us that we are nothing but bodies. And they lie. These guys lie. All right. Now, that's a little bit funny because you say, oh, these guys lie, but it's actually the minister at the church that lied. That's a person. That's a human being. Right. You see, this isn't going to be easy because that is a human being. That is a human that is likewise a divine intention. So how are we going to work this out? Well, we have to work it out for ourselves first. And that is a program that only we can decide for ourselves. It is a very personal process. Very personal process. So, what I see at this time is that we have an opportunity to make this shift voluntarily. We can go with it. We can go with the whole idea that, hey, you know, the material-based reality isn't true. Let's find something else. And, you know, maybe soul-based doesn't work for you or consciousness is too woo or whatever. But whatever it is for you, just we can as individuals go for the idea of more. That there's more to the picture, that there's more to the questions, more to the answers. Are we asking the right questions? You know, we can go with it. We can just take on the change and run with it. Or not, you know, and if we don't take on the change and run with it, it will be, you know, non-negotiable at a certain point. And then we have a choice. It's always a choice. Are we going to go with it? Are we going to, you know, work with the water and learn how to swim in a rough tide? Or are we going to, you know, say, no, I refuse to swim and let the wave knock us down? You know, it's a choice. So, well, phew, that's a lot of talking. Good God, that's a lot of talking. All right, well, and it went by fairly fast. You know, we've got 15 minutes here. So I catch my breath. And now we'll bring in the final time here with a multidimensional exploration. What is the human? So if the human is not its body and human is a divine intention, then what is the human body itself? What is the human capacity? What makes the human special? And what are the gifts that can be developed and explored taking on a human body that is based in consciousness? Well, that's it. It's consciousness. All right. And my belief, my experience, and my reality, the human is a sensory based being, animal. A human is an animal, like a dog or a horse. It's an animal. It's like every other life form. It just has its different abilities, okay? So, the human is a multi-sensory animal that has a prowess in its mind, in its ability to access the inner reality that it is experiencing, as well as the outer reality that is experiencing. Therefore, the access to the inner reality is the key to developing its ability to manifest and create. Manifest and create way beyond the material. The power of the human mind has the ultimate goal of creating universes themselves. That's how powerful the human sensory process is. And that sounds a little wild, you know? Well, here we are on this planet where we're killing each other, right? We're killing each other. Humans are killing humans, okay? Manipulated humans are conducting satanic ritual abuse, killing children right now. It's happening right now on this planet. And here I am sitting over here telling you that actually, in my perspective, another choice for the human is to develop its inner mind consciousness to the point that the human could build universes. We've got a long way to go, but we can do it. So the multi-sensory human experience, to start from where we are taught by the malevolent intention about the famous five senses, right? You know, the smell, sight, taste, touch, and hear. Those are the five senses that the malevolent intention has told us that are operating in our bodies. But I would suggest to you that there are a whole lot more than that. And just to begin to explore what the multisensory capacity of the human is, just play with in your mind a combination of every single one of these senses. Figure out how many ways you can combine these senses. Can you smell and taste? What is the relationship between the two of them? Can you do that at the same time? What happens to each and everyone at the same time? Can you hear, touch, and taste at the same time? Can you smell and see at the same time? Put them together in every single way. You can just, even if you just play with the words, just, you know, put these five words together in every single way you can possibly do that. That begins the conscious development in your inner world of what your sensory board might look like. And the analogy that I play with in the sensory board is the idea of a little spaceship. You know, we have our human suit, the human body, that allows us access to this actually incredibly beautiful planet and the tremendous resources of the Earth itself, the extraordinary planet and the extraordinary soul of this being that we have been gifted the connection with in a human body is itself a power source. It is a phenomenal gift to be allowed this opportunity to experience the power of this Earth. Some call Gaia. You know, I would love to learn more about where Gaia came from. I hear that in myself. I don't really know where that has come from, but I do hear the word Gaia. That it resonates with me sometimes. I would like to learn more about where Gaia comes from. The Earth works for me, plenty, but it, of course, has more. There's more. So there's the Earth, and there's Gaia, and there's also Tierra, and how many ways we call the Earth. The Earth has a soul, and the human body connects to the soul of the Earth in a really profound way. And when you start exploring your senses and all the ways, just start with the first five that you're familiar with in your consciousness. You might not know what they are because you never thought about them. It's one thing, it's like, you know, a computer. Now, I fully reject a lot of idea about a human being a computer, largely because that's what the malevolent intention would really like us to be, is consider us just nothing but a bunch of mechanical processes. We are not a bunch of mechanical processes, period. All right. And it's just not possible. That's why they're having such a hard time pulling this off. But in any case, and in fact, that's why they're not going to be able to pull it off. It's ridiculous, their idea, but they've been successful, and God bless them, and whatever. Anyway, in the multisensory reality of our capacity to develop our multisensory understanding, it's really important to start from where you're at. So, say you are learning about this, like you have a computer. Well, have you gone on your computer and pushed every button and seen where it takes you? When I push, you know, the F5, this happens. When I push Control P, this happens. You know, page up, page down. Oh, I've tried those. You know, look at it like a new experiment to learn yourself. To learn yourself. Wow, feel. What is feeling? How do I define feeling? And you go inside yourself, inside your reality, inside your perception of who you are, who you want to be, how you feel. You go inside and begin to develop the language, begin to develop the relationship with yourself, with your feelings, with your senses. That is the composite of your sensory board. Now, I see now it's 10 minutes coming up, and there are some things that I really need to do in closing. So I'm gonna wrap this up and move toward the closing. And, well, if anybody's been listening the whole time, bless you. Thank you. Your feedback is welcome. Please join the conversation. We're all in this together, and this is how we learn and grow. And anybody who has any question or interest in any of it is welcome to contact me, period. To wrap up the sensory board theory, it's something that I'm very passionate about, this idea and how to put this idea of the true human potential in a way that can be more accessible to people. This has been my pet project for a number of years, and it started out in a concrete way in 2003 when I was started my coaching business. And coaching for me came from a dream that I had where I was actually able to do it, which was very inspiring to feel that my enthusiasm and that my absolutely unshakable faith in the human could be helpful. You know, I had a series of dreams where just those two components, my genuine enthusiasm, you know, that I know that the human can figure itself out. I know that there's courage in the human politic to go inside itself and know itself and to develop, use it, its power in its own sensory board and build universes. I know the human can do that. I know that. And just knowing that get me really excited because I want to help out. I really want to help out. I want to leave the world a better place, you know? So the coaching really gave me that opportunity to do just that. So I am a multidimensional coach. I took a break for since 2007. That's a whole other 2-hour program, but we're not going to do that because I don't know about you, but I'm tired. Anyway, so I am a multidimensional coach, which is specifically focused now on helping people activate their inner world, their inner reality, and become the manifestors of their true destiny, of really understanding the stories that they're living from the inner perspective, living from the inside out. And it's really fun. So that is something that I am just now putting back online. I have been out for 5 years. I went out when I accompanied my dear friend Richie in his earth walk to transition, and then Mom went right behind him in 2009, and now I am just now putting it back up. So there'll be more information on my website and things coming up in the next few weeks. So my website is alchemyoflight.org. And two things to close. You got to be careful what you ask for, because you're going to get it. So I had this process of preparing for this, and I was asking for multidimensional language. How do you explain multidimensional? Well, 2 nights ago, I had a really outstanding dream vision, which is something that's happened to me throughout my life. And if anybody would like to go to my website, alchemyoflight.org, and the second thing in there, A Dream Vision Just Past Midnight by Jamil Graham. It's right under the announcement of this program. I share with you all the vision that I had, which I also shared with you a brief analysis of the quality of the vision. And then I share with you how I process a very brief sharing of the process and how it served me. And because I am an experiential learner and an experiential teacher and somebody that is grounded in experience, this is an incredible example of a multidimensional human experience that you're welcome to check out and do with it what you will. It's really intense. It's not long, but, you know, it's cuts to the point on some things. So now we're at the last few minutes. I must and I will take this moment to offer my whole heart in gratitude to my mother, Juliet Nightingale, for being here with me today. And for sharing all those years we shared in our earth walk. And for sharing with me today our continuing walk now that you've taken on that incredibly beautiful, really beautiful light body. I'm telling you, I want one of those light bodies. They are stunning. Really nice. And it looks really good on you. So thank you so much for being a part of my life. And I want to thank BBS Radio and my brothers in the back there for just holding my hand through these last 2 years while I've been finding my feet again here on planet Earth. You guys have helped me more than I know how to say, and I just got to thank you, Doug and Dawn, very much. And it is because of my mother's show previous to BBS that I was given this opportunity, so I really want to thank you. Doug and Dawn and BBS Radio, my beloved mother. And I also really want to thank the incredible people that have touched my life in the last few years who've given me examples of, you know, really just being yourself and sharing your voice and, you know, living through it and finding creative ways to do it. And I really, I want to acknowledge Alfred Lambert-Mont Weber and Exopolitics. He has been an example of just putting out there a new idea and letting it go. And I really want to thank him for walking his, you know, truth there and allowing me to witness. It's really helped me a lot. So that's where I got Exo World, you know, the integration of extraterrestrials in our consciousness. So, all right, good people. This is Jamil Graham. You have been listening to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I hope you all have a wonderful everything. Until next time, take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other.